Good morning. First of all, I'd like to wish each of the fathers happy Father's Day. The introduction to the meeting today couldn't have been any more appropriate to what I would like to speak on this morning. I am a father. I am also a grandfather. I have 3 children and 10 grandchildren. And my son, who is now, I think, 45 years old, when he was 3, he left me with a profound sense of what it is to be a father. Because we were living in our house and building the house at the same time. So I was always working around the house, nailing here, doing this, doing that. And my son, he had his own tool belt and his own set of tools, and he used to follow me around and pound nails in the plywood floor and do different things like this. And I looked up one time and I saw him, because I used to, I don't know, for those of you who have worked in your house, I don't know about you, but I always carried my pencil like this. And I do that because if I don't, I spend 3/4 of my time looking for my pencil. So I happened to look up and to see my son, and he saw me always putting my pencil in my ear. So I look up and I see him going like this. And then I was struck, wow, I have got to watch it as a father, because I'm being watched all the time. I am being emulated. The things I do are the things that my son is going to do. Thinking about this, I thought, what is probably the most profound thing that you and I, those of you who are fathers, that you and I as fathers can pass on to our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren? And I thought about love. And when I started about thinking about love, I thought, do I love the people at the assembly? I started thinking about that. I said, how do I know I love? Is that easy? Have you ever tried to define love? Well, in the film God Is Not Dead, one of the characters says, love is one of the most overused word in the English language. He said, love is something you say when you want something. And you know, in the world, that is true to a large extent. Love is a word that's bandied about, and most people really don't know what love is. But if you ever tried to sit down, I challenge you, sit down and define love for yourself. And you'll find that you can't really define it. You can describe it, you can give the attributes of it, but you can't define it. So what I thought I'd do, good place to start, is to go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about love? Well, the first thing it says is that God is a standard. God is a standard. It says in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, the one who does not love God, or does not know God, for God is love. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the standard for love is God. And we can tell if we love if we look at the way God deals with us. And what we see is God has no selfishness. He's always giving. He keeps nothing to himself. The Bible sets the standard in God. It says God is love. Now, for those of you who've been around for a while, you know that the word that's used for God is love is agape love. It's one of the 3 different kinds of love, and it's not based on feelings, but it is a decision you make. Many of you know that James Dobson, I believe, wrote a book called Love is a Decision. Love is not a feeling. love is a decision. It's a thing we decide to do. And this is what's so disturbing in the world today, when people, so many marriages are breaking down and the husband or wife says, I don't love him anymore. Well, that's a decision that they're making. They're making a choice not to love. When you think about natural man, we see man is selfish by nature. We find that Adam sought himself instead of God. Yet once, when he fell into sin, blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent, and the first two brothers, one killed the other because of jealousy. Sin robbed the world of love. Selfishness cannot love. If I am selfish, I cannot love. I think about a t-shirt I saw a girl wearing one time. It said right across the front, it said, it's all about me, me, me. And doesn't that express what we see in the world today? It's all about me. It's all about me. The Bible tells about the last Adam, of course, who was Lord Jesus Christ, and it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then John 15, verses 13 and 14 say this, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. God so loved that he gave. It's the exact opposite to selfish man. Jesus Christ demonstrated for us the epitome of love in his life here on earth. No greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends. Romans 8:39 says, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So if we don't want to know what the love of God is, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did for you and for me on Calvary's cross, he came to earth as a man. Now it tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that all things were made by him and for him. The Lord Jesus Christ was a creator, and yet he came as a man to this earth. He lived his life here, and then he died on Calvary's cross. He died for you, and he died for me. And the interesting thing is that we weren't his friends. We're enemies, it says. The Bible says we're enemies of God because we were in sin. But he came and he died for us. He died for those who again had sin against his Father. But the Bible says that he became obedient. Now again, here the Son of God came and he became obedient. But it says he became obedient even to the death on the cross. Like, I can't think of any ways that I would less like to die than being crucified on a cross. But he became obedient even to death on the cross. What a different world this would be if each of us practiced the principle of loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself. And I ask myself these questions. How would my marriage be different if I did this perfectly? How would my marriage be different? How would my job be different? How would my service here in the assembly be different if I loved again as loving my neighbor as myself? Many years ago, a story is told of a shabbily dressed boy in Chicago, and he trudged several miles in the snow-covered streets to attend the Bible class directed by D.L. Moody. And when he was asked, why did you come to a Sunday school so far away from your home? Why didn't you just go to a church that was close to your home? And he said, because you love a fellow here. And really, that's a testimony, isn't it? As fathers, what we want to do is we want to demonstrate to our wives and to our children what true love really is. So not only does the Bible set the standard for love in God, God is love, but God empowers agape love in believers. What he did is he gave the Holy Spirit to be in us as he returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit then gives us the power to build in me a holy character, a holy mind, and a spiritual disposition. Turn, please, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Very well-known verses, but it says there that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now I thought of that as a father, and I thought through that list and said, okay, now do I just demonstrate, do I show to my children? And for those of you young fellows who aren't fathers yet, someday you may be. And this is really an exhortation to take to heart when that does take place. But do I, as a father, demonstrate joy? Do I demonstrate peace? Is my life a life of peace? Do I have patience? Now, Todd mentioned that I was a school teacher. Patience was one of the real critical things that I needed as a school teacher, teaching high school. But I needed my home too. I needed to have peace, patience rather, kindness, goodness. Do I treat my wife and my children with kindness? Is goodness exemplified in my life? Am I a faithful man? Do I come to the assembly, to my kids, my children, and I go, we can say in the old days, but my children from the day they were born were here in Breaking of Bread and the Family Bible Hour and the other meetings of the church, because that's what we were as a family. Am I demonstrating that as a family, as a father? Do I make it a priority to be faithful, not only in my home and to my wife, but be faithful to the assembly? Am I gentle? Am I gentle? Do I show self-control? Do I demonstrate self-control to my children? And again, the verse ends this way, against such there is no law. Another verse that is usually read at, or another passage that's usually read at weddings is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 to 8. And when I look at what love is, again, I can't define it, right? But when I look at what it is, I look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, and it says, love suffers long. That means it puts up with a lot. It doesn't fly off the handle. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, so it's not always telling other people how good it is. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, but for others, that my children see that I am giving my life to others. I am serving others as I live my life. That's what my children see. It's not provoked. It's hard, isn't it? the hardest place I would suggest to you to live as a child of God is in your home, isn't it? Because there all the facade, all the guards that you put against acting certain ways are let down. So as a father, am I demonstrating to my children these characteristics? Thinks no evil. Do I talk about other people? Say, like, oh, that guy just, you know, that's my children here. I can remember, and many of you probably remember this, in the early days, I can remember stories of people who would go across the border and shop over in Detroit, and bring their kids across and say, now don't tell them, you know, you've got those new shoes, and don't tell me the other this and this. What does that demonstrate to your children? Because I'm showing by my actions what my children then may assimilate in their own lives. It thinks no evil. So it doesn't look at other people and say, well, No, it doesn't do that. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Is not happy when somebody else does something bad. Rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Endures all things. Now, as I started reading through this list, I said, wow, is that ever an exhortation to me as a father that I demonstrate to my children these characteristics, which are, again, not a definition of love, but an explanation or description of love. So love is action. It's not abstraction. So in other words, what I mean by that is love is something that you put into action, not something you just make theories about and talk about. Say, yes, I love everybody. No, it's demonstrated in my life. So as a father, how important for me, and of course mothers, you're not really left out of this either, but as a father, how important is it for me to demonstrate what the Bible says love really is? So as we look in Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit empowers us to demonstrate these characteristics of love in our life. And each and every day, when Todd was opening today, he talked about the challenge of love. A lot of the songs that we sang, I don't know if you noticed, were about love. And love is so critical in our life. I think in our, you know, as we look at our own group of believers at Oakwood or here at Grace and Truth, as we look at it, do we really love each other? Do we really put ourselves out for each other? When somebody does something, are we critical of the way they did it? I so often hear this. Well, I think it should have been done this way. The way that I look at it is, you did the job, great job. Is it the way I do it? Maybe it's not. But you know what? You did it, it's great. And that is a demonstration of love, isn't it? So as an assembly, as a body of believers, if we are always encouraging each other and not looking at it should have been done this way or should have been done that way or this should be done or that should be done, then what we do is we learn to demonstrate love to each other. Again, agape love is a decision that demands what we do is we put other needs in front of our own. That we overlook offenses in order to draw people together. So God is a standard. The Holy Spirit empowers us to love. And the third thing I'd like to suggest is that God also requires it of his children. What I'm going to suggest to you is that love is the badge of Christianity. Love is the badge of Christianity. If you turn to John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And it says there this, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So others will know that you're a Christian if you demonstrate love for your fellow Christians. So if they hear you trashing another Christian or speaking ill of another Christian, it's a demonstration to them that you really don't love. Because as Jesus himself said, they'll know you're Christians. They'll know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And I would like to suggest that the church, the assembly, whether it's here or Oakwood or Turner Road or wherever it is, it should be one before God in the fellowship of love. It should be one towards each other in deep affection. And it should be one towards another in visible display. It should be evident that we love one another. This kind of love, of course, is impossible without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can empower me to love as God loves, to love as the Lord Jesus loves. When I thought of this, I thought, you know, in Colossians 3, 12 to 14, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, it talks about what I would suggest is love in the assembly. Love in the assembly. And it says this, it says, "And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on," now notice this, when you read something that, I wasn't an English teacher, I was a science teacher, but I know when it says put on, that is a command, right? It says put on. So if I say, put on this, take this off, do this, those are commands. And in Colossians 3, it says, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on what? A heart of compassion. Put on kindness. You might have heard these before. The other verses we've read are very similar, aren't they? The Bible emphasizes this over and over again. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. You know, the Lord taught me a real lesson. There was one lady in our assembly who used to drive me right around the bend, because as soon as the meeting was over, she'd come up to me, and it was like I was a bee after a flower, you know. She'd be right at me, and she'd be, and she would just go on and on and on about something. And I developed in my heart almost a feeling like I wanted to avoid her, you know. I saw her coming, and I wanted to sort of slip away and talk to somebody else. And then the Lord convicted me in my heart that I needed to love the sister, even though she drove me to the edge. And so I confessed that to the Lord, and I chose to have a different attitude towards that lady. And you know what? She changed. She changed. When she came up to me, she no longer bothered me. When she came with all her whatever it was, it didn't bother me. And I learned to listen to her and respond to her and show her empathy, because I learned that I had to have patience, even with those who drove me around the bend, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And I thought, whoa, is there an exhortation or what? Just as God forgave me, I'm to forgive others. And it says, And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And I think this is something in our world today that is becoming almost extinct. It seems that everybody has their own life, right? And there's very little sort of concern for others. But what we need as Christians is to demonstrate the bond of unity, love, and to love each other, to love to be together, to love to come together with the saints, to love, because guess what? We're going to be together in heaven. Okay? It'll be different then, because the Bible says, when I see him, what? I shall be like him. So I'm not going to be hard to get along with any longer. I'm not going to be impatient. I'm not going to be proud. I'm not going to be whatever. I'm going to be like my Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we all get to heaven, folks, it's going to be one great time of fellowship. There won't be any animosities. There won't be any feelings of this, that, or the next thing. We're all going to be together. But what a joy would it be to be here together on earth and to become closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ so that I demonstrate the love of Christ to my brothers and sisters who gather at the assembly with me. And as I thought about it, I said, that's really love. I love to minister to others. I love to give of myself to others. I love to do this for others. I said, that really is love. Because what I did when I sat down, I thought, what is love? And I couldn't come up with a definition. But it can come up with a description. And Scripture gives us more than one, as we see this morning, more than one list of the demonstrations of love. So as fathers and mothers, as brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity to demonstrate God's love to those around us, to those in our family, to those that we meet together with here in the fellowship, because we can demonstrate these characteristics that we see, the perfect love that's exemplified by the lists that we've looked at. You know, why are there so many splits in the local church? Think of someone here in the assembly, and I don't know most of you very well. I know some of you a little bit, but I don't know most of you very well, so I don't know anything about, so nobody told me anything. But I say this, think of someone in the assembly that things are not just right with, that you have that sort of feeling about. Have they offended you, or have you offended them? I challenge you this morning to go to them and make things right. We can't expect blessing if we harbor feelings of animosity or discontent with other believers. We can't expect blessing if that's the way our heart is. 1 John 4:11-12 says, beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Again, the standard for love is that I love my brother. I love my sisters in the Lord. And I believe that this is the one standard by which God is going to judge you and I as Christians, by our love for each other. And as we look at this, we see that there are what I call love destroyers. And one of these is temper, an indication of what's inside. Another is the tongue, sharp criticism for others, sharp judgment, hasty opinion, jumping to conclusions, secret contempt, unloving words, the need to be right. In conclusion, we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 50. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. What it demands in our lives is absolute surrender. Todd mentioned this in the opening. Absolute surrender. Have I absolutely surrendered? We sing some of these hymns, you know, and I have to stop when I'm singing them sometimes because I think, have I given all to the Lord Jesus Christ? But I'd like to suggest to you that, again, the badge of the Christian is his love for other Christians. By this shall the world know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I just exhort you, fathers and mothers, and those of you who will be someday fathers and mothers, that you really look into God's word and really look at this. What is love really all about? We've talked about this morning. We've given examples of how this is shown. And the exhortation for my heart, and I hope for yours, is that I look at God's word and look at it says what love is and try to make that the example, the illustration of my life. That when I get to the end of my life, I don't know, some of you, we talked about a funeral this morning. I've been to 2 funerals in the last 2 weeks. And oh, to have it said of me at the end when I'm gone. It'd be nice if they said it before I'm gone. But at the end when I'm gone, oh, how he loved. Oh, how she loved. Isn't that the epitaph that you and I would like to have? That we loved as God loved us. So just a little exhortation on Father's Day, an exhortation to each of our hearts to love as God loved, to learn what that really means, and to show it out in our lives day by day. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you came from heaven's glory and died on Calvary's cross that we might be redeemed, that we might have that relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've left us the Holy Spirit, that you left us instructions from your word that show us how to live. And Lord, we know, we can see here what real love really is as we look in your word. And so we just pray that you will help us to take each of these things to heart and to commit our hearts and our lives to love as you loved us, that we might show this love to those around us. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.